cool weed socks. You smoke weed?
Sometimes.
Okay, what's the definition of weed? A joint?
Marijuana.
Mm-hmm. That was really cute.
I got you some of these. These are the ones that I got in Weed California.
Oh, yeah, I have green and yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Guess what we're drinking, guys?
Not alcohol.
Nope. These, like, the way my stomach actually kind of turned. We're drinking vintage cola Olipops, not Coca-Cola, because that was bad.
Because we're healthy.
We're healthy. These are healthy. These are good for you, right? No, they're just cleaner for you. Yeah, it's time for a detox. This weekend, elephant in the room. The episode's late because we were fucking hungover.
Sue me.
I'm sorry. We just have to be honest. Out the gate, we have to be honest. That's why the episode's late. It was my birthday weekend, though, so it's not a problem.
No. You guys got a problem?
Comment down below if you have a problem. No, yeah.
It was just take it away. It was a big weekend. Obviously, you guys know we typically record on Saturdays. Well, we could not record on Saturday because we celebrated Kristen's 29th birthday on Saturday. So the plan was to record on Sunday.
Which is just so silly of us. Yeah,
what did we do?
we're powerful people. We're strong women. We're good
career
people.
Career focused,
sure. But sometimes the faith we have in each other.
And hung over us. I think we knew deep down in our hearts that we wouldn't.
I hoped, though, because sometimes we're hung over. Like, you guys we've done hungover episodes before, and they're 9 times out of 10 hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, we're and we knew that. And we're goofy, and we thought that's maybe
right. We thought we'd have, like, the hangover giggles, and, like, we would be able to kind of, you know, finesse it in a way, but
I'm still hungover.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I still have, like, elevated heart rate. Like,
whoa. Yeah. It hit you a lot harder.
Yeah. Because
you went a lot harder both nights than I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Thursday was my actual birthday, and we had, like, this spa day, which we'll get into in a little bit. We'll tell you guys all the details. But I went out. Then we had dinner, and then Kaya and I, you guys remember Kaya? If you don't, Kaya's just one of our friends from LA. She was here in the city for a week for my birthday. So it was like my birthday energy on top of, like, after dinner, Alex is like, oh, I know I got to go home. Like, she had work on Friday.
Well, we went to that rooftop.
Yeah, right. But, like, you were home by, like, 11, right? It was still pretty early.
Like 12:30.
12:30, okay.
Yeah.
I guess the ratio in my head's a little off because I didn't get home till 5:30 in the morning.
Mm, we'll get to why.
No. I was so tired the next day then because, like, I can't sleep in after I drink. I wake up, like, really fucking early.
Yeah, that's so the thing then with drinking. You, like, get up at the crack of dawn.
Mm-hmm. And then I had 2 hours of sleep, which probably wasn't even good sleep.
No.
And then Friday all day just, like, wrecked. And I didn't sleep all day Friday either because I'm telling you, like, if I'm hungover, I can't sleep. I have to, like, take melatonin. I took a Dramamine. Like, I was seriously trying to, like, drug myself to sleep. And then Saturday, the plan all along was for that to also be a big party day. So I never even recovered from Thursday. And then I went crazy on Saturday.
And the thing about Saturday is we started at noon.
Jesus
so Christ. The whole plan was for it to be a day vibe. And then obviously dinner was pretty late. It was like 9:15, considering how long we had been out earlier in the day. So we had a full, like, literally 13 hours of drinking that day.
And I didn't get home because so after we went to karaoke and after that majority of the group went home. But then yet again, me and Kaya, little fucking monsters, we're like, let's go to one more place. Or no, wait, Kaya went home that night. Sorry.
Yeah.
So Shelby, you and Shelby. My bad. It was me and Shelby. She was foggy. It was me and Shelby. And she was like, let's go to Doc's, which is another really fun kind of dive bar. That's open literally 24/7. Seems like.
Yeah. There's no way they close. They probably close from like 8 a.m. to maybe 11 a.m.
Maybe.
They
maybe just, like, turn off the lights and turn them back. Right. Unplug it and plug it back in.
Okay. Can you guys just step outside real quick?
Stretch break. So yeah, I didn't go until like
3:30. I could only imagine. Yesterday you were quite bedridden. I had a pretty gnarly headache. Thankfully my hangovers have been hitting so differently for some reason these past couple of years. I used to be a super, super nauseous hangover person, but now it's just all in the head.
Yeah.
But I woke up, I had a pretty gnarly headache, and then I popped Excedrin pretty much immediately. So I felt pretty decent. I went for a good bike ride to get some cold air. It didn't hit as hard as I thought it would.
I think, and we talked about this yesterday, obviously we are getting older. It was my 29th birthday.
Right.
So like it makes sense. But I think it's just also my body.
Yeah.
Like my body is very sensitive to a lot of things, which we all know by now. And my gut was like better for a few months. And I kind of, even before this like whole birthday shit, like I did kind of feel like my gut was going back south again, which makes my anxiety really bad, then makes my stress bad. And then I fucking missed a whole period. Like my body's kind of been, and I missed it not because I'm sexually active, but it was stress.
Yeah.
My body's going through like a little funk in these past few months.
Yeah,
again.
I feel like it's kind of struggling to like regulate for some reason.
Yeah.
I feel like once you focus on one thing and you get that right, another thing kind of like sets on fire.
And it's really frustrating for obvious reasons. I mean, anybody who has any health concerns, it's frustrating to not feel your best self. And then my health anxiety on top of that freaks me out. The second something is off in my body,
you start to spiral.
I freak out that it's like this deeper thing. And yeah, we don't have to go there because it's going to upset me yet again. But yeah, guys, I think I'm like super over drinking. And that sounds like every other bitch after a crazy weekend. I'm never drinking again. But like, I'm not drinking until Gov Ball, which is in June. And even that, like, I think I'm just going to coast off like a beer or two and like shroom and smoke weed.
Yeah.
Cause like, I'll speak for myself here. And I think this is maybe something a lot of our generation's relating to right now. It's not that I want to stop drinking cause I think I have a problem. I know what a drinking problem looks like. I'm very confident in what that looks like. And I'm even more confident that that's not the case here.
Right.
It's more so like, I just think my body needs a different type of substance.
Your body just doesn't like it.
It's totally my gut. I mean, alcohol is bad for everybody's gut. And then if you already have fucking gut issues, right. Like, yeah. So
yeah, I noticed that the amount of alcohol, like I feel like I'm always fine. Like I don't think I'll ever stop going out and having a glass of wine with dinner or having a beer with lunch.
Sure.
I think I will always be that type of social drinker. It's the amount of alcohol that I think I would need to change. And I noticed where we go. Like when we were after your birthday dinner, when we were on that rooftop bar and it was like, it felt like a club.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at like a table and there was like, it was like bottle service.
Right.
That is not my vibe anymore.
I don't like
clubs. I am so over, like even standing in there and like, and I tried to like force myself to dance.
Dude, that place wasn't planned, right? We were just walking. We're like, should we just pop in here?
No, that was one of the ones there. That Kylie had recommended.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So we just had like a list of little spots that we were going to try and pop into. And we went in and it was cool. I mean, the view was beautiful.
Oh my God. It was like probably three blocks from the Empire State Building and like big glass windows. It was beautiful.
It was such a good spot. But I remember like standing in there and almost like forcing myself to dance. And it actually like sobered me up even more because I had such a good buzz leaving the dinner. The drinks at dinner, we'll get there, but the drinks at dinner were phenomenal. And I had such a good buzz, but I was up there and I was like, the club scene. And we had the same thought when we went to, what was that spot? It had
Somewhere
like
Somewhere Nowhere.
No, we met JC when JC, Kian, and all of them were in town.
For
we
the
met
pop-up.
Them. Okay. Yeah, we met them at that club. Do you remember?
It had games and stuff.
Yeah, it had like games downstairs, but upstairs it was like a big,
like full club,
club.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but I remember what you're talking about.
You remember when we were standing there and we looked at each other and we're like, this just,
I don't like clubs. Are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Literally, you look around, everybody's just standing, like barely fucking bopping to the music.
Yeah.
And just like standing there like fucking zombies filling up their vodka crayons, because that's all. I swear, I've been to some really nice fucking clubs, and I swear bottle service is the same everywhere you go. You get a fucking orange juice, a pineapple juice, right. A cranberry juice, a bucket of ice.
For $800.
Like, at least give me like a hibiscus.
Right.
Refresher. Like
mixed
good
cocktails.
And it's all plastic cups because they don't want drunk people to break it. Like,
right.
Bottle service sucks.
It sucks. Ugh. And I just had like an inkling of that vibe at that one spot. And I just remember thinking like, this has changed my perspective on going out in general.
Yeah.
And like knowing that I just don't want to be at these clubs anymore.
Yeah.
Compared to when we go to like those divey spots and like.
Like the docks or Rays.
Or even Lucien before dinner.
Oh, I loved that.
Loved that little bar. Like those vibes are just, I feel more comfortable in them in general. And it really, this weekend gave me a big perspective on like,
what I want.
Yeah, my drinking pattern in general.
Yeah.
You know?
It did. It totally did. I mean, I'm right there with you. I think that's half of my scaries too, is kind of reevaluating
totally
whatever the hell just happened. It was great. It was a great week.
It was such a good weekend.
One of those things. Yeah. I mean, again, I bet you so many people even listening to this right now are relating to this. Like, we also are just getting older.
Yeah.
Like, I think every late 20s, early 30s person goes through this, maybe even younger, goes through this kind of like reevaluation of what you look at as like social drinking and like what you value when it comes to spending time with people. And yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a really weird feeling. And like, I think I just like maybe dinners more, like social drinking dinners, like what we did on my birthday. Like,
yep.
But saying that, like, don't get me wrong, that what I did at Docks, but I went to Docks both of my birthday nights till the wee hours in the morning, and it was so fun. Like, while you're there, it's obviously such a good time, these like dive bar vibes. But I think the all-encompassing lesson here is like waking up the next morning and how I feel.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, maybe that part just kind of goes back into like what the way my body's taking alcohol, because it's, I mean, sure, I drank a lot because like on the clock, we were outside for a long time, but like not that crazy.
We weren't like blacked out.
God, no.
We didn't.
I couldn't tell you last time I blacked out. Like, I did not black out. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just so weird.
It's just changing. It also makes me think about how I feel like me and you grew up in a similar way with our parents' generation and watching them socially drink, and how it was so like they've just done it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, every weekend. So it's kind of weird for us to be sitting here at this age and thinking like maybe just drinking isn't it for us, but we grew up around it. So
exactly.
It almost feels like we're going going against the grain of like what we thought was normal.
Exactly.
Which it was for our parents' generation. It's just so normal to drink on the weekends.
Especially the Bay Area, like our side of the Bay, it's, you know, you're at barbecues every weekend, you're drinking and you're doing the same thing. And
I
love that. Like, that's fun. I'm not going to say I'm never doing that again.
Also, it's a different lifestyle here in New York because it's so club driven and it's so like going out to the wee hours of the morning. And it's just a different lifestyle out here when it comes to drinking.
And it's weird. I was thinking about this morning, like, to that point of New York being kind of like the Mecca. I mean, a lot of big cities, but like, you know, we'll speak on New York. Just party lifestyle, go out, whatever. For us to move here in the time of our lives where we're
questioning this thing.
Yep. It's so hard because like I even find like the fact that this past week it was for like a birthday, but like that was the most socializing I've done in months.
Yeah.
That kind of made me think like,
how else am I going to do it?
Yeah. And it's making me really sad.
Yeah.
And like,
I
this
totally
morning,
get that.
You were sitting here, you kind of looking in my room, and I just kind of been in like a sad headspace. Cause like, I feel super lonely. Mm-hmm. I feel so lonely. And like, Kaya was here for a week and now she left yesterday. And like, literally the second the door closed, I was like, oh my God, like now it just goes back to like me and you. And like, I know you don't take that as a diss.
No. Yeah.
Cause that's not what I mean.
And I've been there.
Exactly.
And
it's just the fact that we only have each other.
Yeah.
That's, I'm like, oh fuck.
And it's, I had about a year of that when we first moved here, and I've talked about it before. It's such a bizarre feeling when you're in a city of so many fucking people and different walks of life and so much shit to do, yet you are the most alone you've ever felt.
In my life.
Yeah. And I've felt it.
Which is hard for all humans.
Yeah.
But as we've also talked about in this podcast, like, I love socializing.
Yeah.
So I felt so good with Kaya being here and like going out and like socializing with all these people this past week. And it just like, it did charge me. And then, you know, obviously the fun comes to an end. Monday morning comes around and I was like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
I don't know the next time I'm going to see anybody else other than you.
It's also, it's also a weird feeling because they're in these scenarios. And I think what changed for me was me having my boyfriend now.
100%.
And in these scenarios before, you're going from such a like a solo standpoint to a big group. There's such highs and such lows.
Exactly. Like, it's like a withdrawal right now.
Exactly. Like we surround ourselves, like when our friends came to visit, I was always so happy and like I felt like, oh, it's normal again. But then, like you said, when they walk out the door, it's like back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's such stark differences. And that's mm-hmm. why it makes it feel worse.
Yeah.
But I relate to you. It's a dark feeling.
And then like, what do you do about that? Like, and I go back and forth because even just like looking at your situation, like that obviously got better for you once you got a boyfriend, but I don't think I want a relationship right now. I don't think I should be in a relationship right now for reasons you all know. Like, I'm still trying to be single, and it's like, okay, then like go out and date and like whatever. And then I'm like, I also, now that just feels forced. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
There was,
I don't know if that's making any sense.
Totally. Because there was a point in time before I met my boyfriend that I started to feel comfortable here. And I started to realize that there's no way I'm going to replace the friend group that we had in the Bay. And I think that's what I was looking for. And I needed to like come to that, realize like that reality.
Yeah.
And like face the truth that there's no way we're going to have these group of friends.
I don't even want that though. Like, I mean that with all love, like cause I've heard you say that. And like, I get what you mean by that. I'm fine. Like, I could be friends with a freaking rock.
And
like,
you have friends out here.
Right.
I think there's something. Yeah. There's like something stopping you from like.
But it's not like I do reach out to people like it.
Yeah.
And like, I'll see them once and then I don't see them again for another month. Like it's.
Yeah.
It's just something's not clicking.
And there's like, you're not in like a rhythm with
anyone.
Yeah.
And it's shitty because then, I mean, knowing me, you guys know me, like I'm going to like look within and be like, oh, is the universe telling me like maybe I need to be alone and be introspective? And like, I'm introspective all the fucking time. I'm so introspective that I think it's having reverse effects. Like it's getting really bad.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm just trying to maybe see if there's a reason I'm supposed to be alone right now. And I'm open to understanding that reason, but I still don't see the reason, because I've been through periods of my life where I'm in a situation that feels icky, but deep down I know why I'm in the situation, right? Like,
yeah.
Even like a going through a breakup, like, oh, I'm so sad and I want to just call this person back. But deep down, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, this doesn't feel like that.
Right.
This doesn't feel like I'm just wanting the thing that's going to put the bandaid on it. I'm just genuinely craving fucking people.
Yeah.
And I just don't have anybody here consistent other than you.
Right.
And like, yeah, I don't know. Like, you know what? Half you guys listening are probably like, this is such like a Sunday Scaries conversation. And sure, I'm sure a lot of this comes from a lingering
anxiety,
whatever. But like, I'd be lying to you if I said this isn't the first time that I've thought about this. It's just the first time we're sharing it on the podcast. So it's, yeah, I think what this whole birthday week did was just kind of throw like a big contrast,
right?
Literal visual situation to what I've been feeling.
Yeah.
Especially around my birthday, which is like my favorite. Love my birthday, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I love my birthday.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think it kind of just like blew up back in my face, and then like Kaya leaving, and like, I don't know. I don't know. This feels kind of maybe rude to say, but like the people that came to my birthday, I only know because of your boyfriend. And I think that was another thing where I was like, of course, all love. Like, we've hung out with these people a good amount of times, at least me.
Yeah.
Over this past about almost a year that you guys have been together. And like, I love that everybody came. It was so much fun. But like, I remember there's a point where I sat around and I was like, the only people that like I have like energy ties with at this table are like 30% of the group.
Yeah.
That's so shitty.
I feel like a lot of this is about perspective too.
You're right.
And I think, I mean, you've talked about it before. We've talked about it on the podcast. You do often try and like apply deeper meanings to things that don't need like to be applied to. And I think this might be one of those scenarios, because bringing it back to it being all about perspective, like I've also been in that space. Like when I moved to LA, you were the only person I knew, and I hung out with just you and Scott and all of his friends. And I looked at it as though this is just my way of making new friends. Like at this point in our lives, these are the different ways that you make new friends. Mm-hmm. And if you are craving that, like want to have these ties to people, then like create those ties.
Yeah.
But take out the attribute of like, oh, but I
like
just
where
like,
they stem from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like we can look at that in any scenario too.
Yeah.
Unless you go out there and actively look for new soul ties and new people to be friends with that have nothing else to do with any of us around you, I feel like you're gonna like find another
kinda
way.
Have that reason for anything.
Exactly.
For sure. Yeah. It's just kind of a thought. I mean, I don't know. I thought I would just share it since we were on the topic.
Yeah.
When I was sitting around at dinner, I was like, huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's all about perspective. And I totally, like I said, I totally relate to you. I feel like me and so many people listening are probably going through a lot of this, but it is about perspective, you know? And if you want to like put yourself out there and go and make these soul ties, then you can't
can't pick apart how they fall into my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that too. It's just weird. I'm just in like a funk right now with that. And like, that was just kind of like a little cherry on top of like I said, this was just this whole past week was like a representation of what I'd been feeling. And yeah, I just don't know why I'm in this. Like,
but that's another, like, the why doesn't matter.
It doesn't. But then I just still, it doesn't make it go away that I'm questioning it.
Yeah.
I can't just like,
but if you release the need to know the why, maybe you'll allow yourself to like a little bit of acceptance.
Yeah.
And I think it could help with anxiety. It can help with how you're reacting to these these feelings. There's a lot goes into you holding on to, but why? And if you just like turn the leaf to acceptance and switch your perspective up, I feel like it could release some of that energy.
I don't even know where I'd start. Before we continue today's episode, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc, which is a free app and website that helps you compare highly rated doctors in your area and instantly book appointments with them.
What I love is everything is done online. So you book your appointments, you look at reviews. They also have this amazing checklist that keeps you in check with all of those like follow-up appointments that you need to do. Your every six month teeth cleaning, any gyno appointments, they really hold you accountable for everything that you need to get done.
You can search by location, availability, and you can also plug in your insurance so you can trust that the people you're looking at are in network.
The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours, and sometimes you can even snag a same day appointment.
I just love that you could see the pictures of each of your doctors too. I feel like I am very much someone who doesn't love going to the doctor, but you got to do it. So why not kind of catch a vibe, right? And all the patient reviews are actual real patient reviews. So you could trust them. ZocDoc has also been really helpful since we've moved to a new city. Finding your new doctors and everything could just be like so exhausting. So it's nice to do it all on your phone, all in one place, and I don't have to be like calling around to all these places.
Again, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online.
Just go to ZocDoc.com/advice and download the ZocDoc app for free, then find and book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZocDoc.com/advice, ZocDoc.com/advice. Thanks, ZocDoc.
Like I could do that with a few things in my life, but I mean, it, honestly, it's hard to do it when it's things that are like, so just me.
Yeah.
Like family shit, I'm able to do that. Ex shit, I'm able to do that because it's kind of this like two-parted or two-sided situation, like me and literally another person. And
right.
I'm able to
There's
kind
so
of,
many different factors that go into it.
But I think it's easier for me to like, maybe it even applies to the way I struggle to apply compassion to myself, but I could give out compassion to others. Like it's going out of style.
Yeah.
Like I could do it when there's like someone else involved, but when it's something that I'm struggling with as an individual, just like in my own little world, in my own little head, it's super hard for me to like look at myself from a different perspective because I am just me, so my perspective is one-sided.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
That's like the same way, like, when you look forward right now, you can't see your own face, even if you tried.
Right.
That makes me spiral sometimes. As a kid, I used to think about that, like, how I can't look at my own eyes right now, and I used to, like, freak out.
I just, like, look at my nose but to like, remind myself that my face is there.
But
do you,
you
do
can't
that?
See, no, because...
Oh, you don't?
I'm telling you, I used to freak out as a kid about this.
Whoa.
Like... it freaks me out.
Can you look at your nose?
Yeah, I mean, okay. For sure. But like, it just like, oh, it freaks me out.
Yeah,
but
that's weird.
To give it like a literal.
Right.
I mean, shit, maybe that same sense of frustration I got as a kid of not being able to see my own face is like what yeah. I get when it comes to like that type of perspective. I don't know. I get, I'm not saying, I know this like all sounds so negative. I'm not saying I don't see the silver linings here, and I completely understand and like forever appreciate everything you're saying right now. Like that's why I'm honestly, I was excited to sit down and talk about this with you.
Right.
It always feels good. Like I yeah. already feel better talking about it, but.
And that you're not
just
like
hard to,
you're not spewing negativity. Like I said, this is shit that we like every single one of us, I'm sure at some point has felt these emotions and they're so natural and it's such a natural reaction. It's just when you, and like me knowing you and knowing how and why you spiral, I feel like there's like, I want to just like, I want to like catch
Strangle
you.
Me?
No, I want to like, same. I want to like pull you back from the black hole that you're spiraling into and just like, hold on, look at it this way or like, look at it this way. And I know that sounds Ugh. So like trivial and surface level right now, but sometimes it's the at least for me, I'll speak for myself, sometimes for myself the answer is to release all of that why, because I mean, you know, I overthink everything.
I think that's why we're friends.
Yeah,
I think we bond over yeah,
I overthink. If like we've talked about this, if you like shut your door the wrong way, I'm like, oh my, she's mad,
I'm like, this is the last day of our friendship.
She's sick. So mad at me. Like, I so get you, and like, I overthink everything. But me overthinking it is not going to help my anxiety. So the way that I try and like subside that is to release the any meaning behind it and just say, okay, it doesn't mean anything. I don't need to figure out why. I don't need to do all of this deep dive digging because it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
If I want something to change, or if I want, I don't know, if I want this perspective to switch up, me overthinking it and trying to figure out the why is not the, I mean, I could sit here all day and maybe figure out literally the why.
Drive yourself silly.
Right. One day.
Yep.
But it's not the quickest way to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like if I want something to change, you change it. And that's, like I said, I didn't even want to say that sentence because it sounds so fucking surface level, but.
But you are right. Like, I know that's the best thing to do for yourself in these situations, but it's I want to say like the act of doing it, even though it's quite literally the opposite of acting. It's not acting on anything and just like being. And I could do that for like literally a second. Like it's such a mental thing. Like,
yeah, totally.
I could do it for a second. And in that second, I'll even feel my heart rate goes back down. My stomach feels better. Like my vision feels better. Like everything calms down for that like good minute I have. And then it just like comes back. Like
you definitely have to like,
you have to practice it.
Yeah. Force yourself, because I get that too. I can't
force it like that. Like, and sorry to keep interrupting you, but like, this is fully out of frustration. Cause that's even what I talk about in therapy. I'm like, but like, it's not even an option to do that. Like I could do it for like a minute and then it comes right back. Like I fixate really bad, and like, I understand it comes with practice, and I haven't stopped. I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on trying. And like all the things we tell you guys all the time, like the one I love where I say I'm on the train platform and you watch the trains go by. Like I do those things. If I didn't do those things, I think I would have gone nuts by now. Like I'm doing them. I'm practicing them. I'm just not seeing many results. It feels like I'm just staying afloat.
Yeah.
They're just keeping me alive, but they're not like
changing anything.
They're not getting better.
Yeah.
It's just like keeping me coasting, which is like so frustrating. Cause I know what the other side looks like. Like I know I'll be fine. I know all these things, but it's so like the way I fixate on things is just super frustrating. Cause I do see what you're saying. Like I do understand I need to release. It's just, I'm talking in circles. I just literally like can't. And like
I get
emotion
it.
Is out of that. Like that's not like a, ah, poor me. I can't, like chemically.
Yeah.
It just like doesn't happen.
It's like when you think, okay, this is going to be really, really good. Like I'm feeling good today. But then the next day is a bad day and you're like, well, back to reality, like back to what it, and then it's a cycle.
It's yeah. Yeah. And like, I've even kind of dropped the gratification part of that cycle. Like what you just said, I feel like that's something I used to think of a lot growing up is like, okay, if today's a good day, that's great. If tomorrow's a bad day, oh, that means I'm starting back at square one. Mm. I know that's not the case anymore. Like I don't necessarily look for like every moment and everything being good in my life. I'm very aware and comfortable with the ebb and flows.
Right.
But this, you can already see it. This is more than just the ebb and flows that I struggle with. Like I'm really in like a right now.
Yeah.
Like this is a little deeper. This went like a little deeper on the line graph.
It's bigger scale. Yeah.
Yeah. This is okay. Yeah. If it's an ebb, it's a really big ebb.
Yeah.
It's just so shitty. And like, I don't know. I just thought like, ooh, this is shitty to say, but I'm going to say it. I thought like, I know people go through like really fucking shitty things all the time. Like I'm never going to sit here and say like, I'm in the worst situation ever, like, trust me, you guys, but like, let me just say this real quick to like speak my truth. I thought like after that like shitty year I had, like, I thought like I'd start feeling better. And I'm just not.
You're still going through it. You're still healing from it. That only happened.
Exactly, though.
Like, that only happened like a number of months ago. Like, these things take time. Time is the biggest like healing that you could ever benefit from.
It's, I guess, hey, maybe this is an episode we'll do. I guess while you're waiting for time to fucking heal, what do you do with your hands?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
that's just kind of where I'm at. Cause like, yes, time is the biggest medicine. Like, I've lived it. I could say a million times in my life where I thought I couldn't get through that and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, and yes, you guys know like a lot of some things, but there's also a lot of my personal life I actually will probably never tell you that have happened in this past
6 months,
like 6 to 8 months. It's really weird and like icky and yeah. So I thought like I'd get like a break. Again, this is me like reading into the universe like I do. Like, I just,
yeah,
like, I thought she'd just like give me a little break, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you'll just see like it. The frustration. But I like,
I'm sorry,
I don't see it.
You will.
I see it, like, I get, like, a glimpse.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's just, like, nothing's sticking. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's not sustainable for anyone.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want some, like, I want consistency.
Yeah.
I'm, like, I good feel consistency. Really, really inconsistent right now.
Yeah.
Like, everything right now is just, like, I can't even say everything because that sounds like one thing. Like, there's just, like, just so much. I don't know. I can't put that one in words, but I know you know what I mean.
I do. I think a really big thing is the fact that we don't have roots here.
Yeah.
Our roots, we clearly had roots in the Bay. We had roots in LA. But here it's just us. There's no roots. Yeah. It feels like we're floating. And like,
yeah. And like, for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I thought by now, it's been like, sure, I know they say like, you're not a resident unless you've lived somewhere for 10 years, like whatever. But 2 years in any situation, you'd think you'd find some comfort, right?
Yeah. But I will say, putting it into perspective of the fact that you had that long distance relationship that, I mean, we've said it time and time again, it literally pulled your energy into California.
Right.
And it didn't.
I never like fully settled in here.
No.
Until, and that, like, now.
Exactly. This is you settling in here. This is your, and like, I, not to bring it back to like me experiencing this, but that block of time is what I had.
But when I we had moved something here. That was but like putting had, a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, yeah. You had your relationship with Tanner that not only was making you happy in the moment, mm-hmm. but it was also pulling your energy into California when you didn't, like, this was just your shelter.
Yeah, yeah.
This what you didn't need roots here at the time.
Yeah.
Which is so valid. Like, you were in a long distance relationship. We were doing like the fun side of social. When we say socializing, it's not just like going out and having a drink. Like, we mean connecting with people.
Literally.
And like, we had the fun side of socializing, but
it's pretty empty when there's no roots.
Exactly. Yeah. But your root was in California. With Tanner.
Yep.
But now that you're going through this like devastating breakup and you don't have that tie anymore, you feel like your roots are just like I said, floating. Like,
I'm rootless.
Yeah. And like, that's such a part of like the human experience that is so necessary to feel like we belong somewhere. And I only say this because like, I relate to you. Like, it is, I know exactly how you're feeling right now. And it like, getting those roots is what I think you are really like desiring right now.
Totally. I think like every human deep down, you need roots. Yeah. And like, that looks different no matter what your belief system is or whatever. Like, finding
where you belong.
Yeah. It's just, it's a way of, it's a sense of being grounded, and I haven't been grounded in a long time. And like, sure, there's like things I could do to ground myself and touch grass and da da da. Like, but that's just like not what this is. And like, yes, it's a part of the human experience. And like, here I am, I'm doing it. Like, I'm fucking here, you know, whatever. But it's like, that is where I kind of start reading into like, I don't know, like I believe in like souls being geographically pulled to places.
Totally.
Around the world. Like, astrogeology, whatever. It's like, you can look at like your birth chart and shit and like see where like the planets were on the map and like what cities, like it's accurate for a lot of people. I've actually never looked into mine, which maybe would be helpful in this.
I looked into mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything? Like, did anything resonate?
California and LA resonated. Okay. New York wasn't on the map, so whatever that means.
Should we go? All right. That's the last episode. Yeah, I haven't done it, so maybe I'll do it. But
yeah.
Yeah, to that point, like I do think souls are pulled to different places around the map. And I bring that up because I'm like, am I not like, all things aside, a Tanner aside, all the shit, whatever. Am I also maybe not feeling grounded because I'm not supposed to be here? That goes into my head a lot. Mm. And then I'm like, well, no, because I'll never forget how sure I was that I wanted to move here and how stoked and like invigorating and liberating and like, even
it was all you would think about.
It was all I was thinking about. And even then I was in the relationship with Tanner.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to dip. Like I say that because like our other side of the example was the pull he had doing back to California. But even while I was there, I still wanted to be here. So then I read into like, well, no, I really, really was pushed to be here.
Yeah. I just think you haven't given it like the proper chance.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's the bit like it has only been 6 months since you've had that break. And that's such a short amount of time. I mean, you're faced with going through the breakup and then on top of it, feeling like you now have to like set down roots here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so much work to do in six months. Like it,
like give me a break.
Exactly.
That's literally what, exactly. That's what I'm saying is like,
yeah.
Like, can I like one thing at a time?
Yeah.
Cause then like, I mean, like I keep fucking saying like, yeah, the Tanner thing was one thing and that was really fucked up. But like, I think I'm also like a lot of like my family stuff. I like, am like maybe neglecting the effects it's had on me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah,
happens.
There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. But it's only super natural crazy for you not to know how to address all of it at once. And like, I don't think you need to. I think it's hitting you in waves, some like harder than others, but I don't want you to feel like you have to have everything figured out right now.
I guess I know I don't need to, but it's just that natural sense of I need to adapt. I need to feel better. So to feel better, I must dissect what's happening and then correct what's happening. Mm. That's the machine right now. It's like, sure, I know it's, you know, like I said a second ago, like people go through fucked up things. I understand that's literally inevitable. And we'll probably cry to each other and have this conversation a million more times in different fonts.
Yep.
Till the end of time. But yeah, it's like that acceptance of letting it go really butts heads with the very strong part of me and my brain and my personality that's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If I can identify what's wrong, I should be able to identify what I could do to fix it.
Mm. I would drive myself crazy.
No, and that's what's happening. That's literally like,
that's,
oh, my therapist texts me. Hey girl, I'll get back to her. That's happening.
That's evil.
It's like consuming. Mm-hmm. Like it's, it's alienating, it's consuming, it's terrifying, it's
isolating.
It's isolating. Like, I feel like my body won't stop vibrating. Like, yeah. I physically am just like,
you can't settle.
I can't breathe. Like, I'm to the point where I'm manually breathing as if I took like the craziest edible.
Yeah.
This is before the hangover too. So imagine being hungover on top of all this, you guys. But actually, like, I've had some really weird like health scares because of this. Like, it's,
yeah.
It's feeding into, driving me crazy.
It's feeding into so much more than what it naturally would, like, because of your health anxiety, mm-hmm. because of everything else on top of it, because you have gut issues, like, it's seeping into other forms.
Yeah. And then I'm like, then I spiral into like, well, everybody has it hard. And then I stop. That's where I lose compassion with myself. It's really mm-hmm. hard for me. And maybe some of you guys relate to this too. Like, the world's like super fucked up right now, right? Like, more than our generation has seen. We can only speak at our age, I guess. And it could be so hard having compassion with yourself and your problems that are relative to you and your life when we're all faced daily on our phones, you know, like, seeing everything that is happening in the world.
Right.
And that is part of this mental hamster wheel I go through, is like,
you see all the shit going on in the world, and then like, you look at your problems. What am
I complaining about? Yeah. And then I push it down.
Yeah.
And then it comes back with a fucking migraine that sends me into another spiral.
Yeah. It's a cycle.
Oh, baby. Sorry, I super just dumped for 48 minutes and 40 seconds.
It's okay. This is what it's like turning 29.
It's my birthday.
It is.
It's my birthday.
You could cry
year.
If you want to.
It's literally April. Like, I can't pull this anymore.
No.
Yeah, Sunday was the last day I could technically say that.
You're still going through it. Especially, like, I feel this a lot too, specifically around my birthday. You get already super, like, introspective.
Oh my God, another year. What have I done?
And everything is laid 10 times as thick. Mm-hmm. Like, specifically around your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get like that every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
I usually do, but in like a really good way. Mm. I will say this is the first birthday in a while that I could remember that I've had such like a, you know, to wrap it up, negative kind of,
yeah,
oh shit moment. I don't know, like, my birthday for me has always just been like the new year. It's like the spring solstice. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's another year on my notch. Like, it's my new year. So it usually is this like
restart,
but like in a good way and like in a motivating way, I guess what I'm trying to say. This is the first time, and again, since I can remember, that I'm having like a bad one. So
don't.
What did you
don't.
Do this again?
What did, don't do it.
What?
I celebrated one of the best people ever.
Oh. That was supposed to make you smile. Stop.
Supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah, I'm super happy right now. You're fine. Oh. No, it's okay. It's a happy tears. I'm fine. No, that was nice. Thank you. Yeah. No, yeah. Shout out Alex.
No.
She planned a lot. Like, oh my God, so much. Maybe let's get into like ticket time, because dead ass, like, I've said this a gajillion times now, like, all tears aside, this was a really good birthday. Like I said, while it was happening, it was good. It's now the come down from it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, on Thursday, so on my actual birthday, it was Thursday, we did the QC spa here in New York. That's where I need to go right now, actually.
Yeah. Cooking massage.
Yeah. It's on Governor's Island.
Yeah, it took the ferry out there.
Beautiful. Like, you feel like you're not in New York anymore.
Not at all.
It, like, sorry, heck, it's not. It, like, faces lower Manhattan. You have a little bit of a Brooklyn. You can even see, like, Jersey. Like, it's such a beautiful spot. And if you're in the area for your birthday month, you get
free
admission.
Yeah.
I think plus one person.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on the one person, but I know you at least get free admission. So on top of that, you would just pay for, like, obviously, like, food or massages. But what's included in your admission, birthday or not, if you're paying or not, the, like, general admission is access to all the amenities, the steam rooms. They have saunas, the two heated pools, which was, like, amazing. Oh,
it was so fun. It was really cold and rainy the day that we went, but it was still so nice because
it was literal bath water.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so
nice. And it was cool being in there. They have, like, jets everywhere. And they have a pool that has, like, plays classical music underwater.
Yeah, you, like, put your ears, like, you float on your back so just your ears are underwater.
It was nice.
Really cool. Alex actually has some broken blood vessels on her back from sitting on a jet for so long.
I got a little too gumpy.
You got too chill.
Wait, Kristen, talking about getting too chill.
What did I do?
You went into the pool in just your undies.
Oh my God. This was so embarrassing. So you bring bathing suits. Like, also included in your admission is a robe and shoes. All they say is, like, bring your bathing suit. So I did. Duh. And we're in the pool during the day. Like, I'm in my full bathing suit successfully. And then we go to lunch. They have, like, a little cafe on site, and we had a 2:30 reservation to
good
go eat.
Food. I had a tuna sandwich.
I had an egg salad sandwich. Those both sound really gross, but, like, they were
wait,
really...
wait. We both had, you had an egg salad, I had a tuna sandwich, but then we both had margaritas.
Ew, we did.
Gross.
Maybe that's probably why I'm not okay. That probably triggered so much anxiety. Yeah. Alone. That combination, like,
unreal.
I feel like we made a bad potion. Yeah, and it's cool because you get to, like, wear your robe in the restaurant. Like, everybody's just in robes. It's super comfy. Anyway, so to go to our reservation, I took off my wet bathing suit bottoms because I don't want to get a UTI. And I brought a clean pair of underwear. So I put on the clean pair of underwear. So now I'm just in my robe, my clean dry underwear, and my bikini top. And we have our, like, whole lunch, whatever. And then we walk back out to the pool because we had, like, an hour to spare until our massage, which I also wanted to put the underwear on for because I'm not going to wear a bathing suit during massage. Duh. And we were walking back to the lockers, and there we saw, like, a pool that we hadn't gone to. And we're like, oh, let's go. And we hop in and take off the robe and run it. Like, we're running. And there's, like, lifeguards. Like, there's people around, right?
Yeah, there's, like, four lifeguards to one pool.
Yeah. And I'm, like, scurrying, like, shivering as I'm walking over to the pool. And I get in and, like, I just, like, naturally was just, like, fixing my bikini as you do when you get into the pool. And it just, I realized they were lace underwear and not spandex bikini bottoms.
It was okay. At least they were black.
They were black. So, like, maybe nobody noticed. I don't know. But I just, like, all of a sudden I was like, Alex, what? It's like, I'm wearing my underwear. And yeah, so she had to go get my towel. And then don't worry, I had another pair of fresh underwear, so we're good.
Yeah.
I went home with clean underwear. Thank you for asking. Yeah, so best massage of my life. It was actually seriously one of the best masseuse, maybe the best masseuse I've ever had. And what's interesting about that was the first male masseuse I've ever had.
You know what? So I was just, like, naturally a little iffy going into the room with a male masseuse.
I've only ever had female ones.
Right. But I will tell you, he was probably the best one that I've had.
Yes. They were obviously so professional.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't necessarily scared of anything happening. Like, this is a very nice establishment. This is no happy ending shit.
No.
But it was just like,
Naturally having another man touch your body is, like, a little bizarre. I think he could tell that I was tense because at one point he goes, you know, you get to relax here.
I would have cried.
And I was like, okay, you're right. And I just, like, took a deep breath and, like, relaxed, and he started stretching out my limbs and stuff. Oh my God.
It was a lot of, like, movement therapy they were doing. He did.
He did this, like, this thumb thing on the very top of my head. It was the most unreal head massage I have ever gotten. It was so nice. I could go back for just that.
Yeah. They were really, really, the whole staff, everybody was like really professional, but like comforting at the same time. Like,
they just know that you're there to really relax.
Chill. Like,
it was so good.
It was so, so good. So, yeah, we did that all during the day. I was like, this is great. Like, great start to the birthday week, right? And then we went home and we had like 2 hours to get ready. So we're kind of just like slowly doing our makeup, whatever, just like, you know, rinsed off, whatever. And Alex and Kaya were like, stay in your room. Like, they were obviously like setting up something. So I stayed in my room, whatever. One thing about me is like, there were so many times where you guys were like, don't peek. I'm like, I love surprises so much. Trust me, I don't want to ruin it.
Right.
I would never peek. Anyway, they set up, they had balloons up on the wall that said happy birthday. Made it like such a vibe in here. Like, Alex has this like plug-in disco ball. She plugged that in, so it was like big disco vibes in here. We had the advice sign on, so our whole apartment was just like pink. Alex got me, it's on my Instagram if you didn't see it already, the most beautiful cake I think I've ever seen. It literally looked like an emoji.
It was so pretty.
Like, how did the artist do that? Do you remember her thing?
Sugar Bandit NYC.
Yeah, I think that was
She's just this like independent baker in Brooklyn. And I just found her on Instagram.
So good.
I think I typed in like glittery cake New York. And I found her.
I looked at her page. She had some other really good shit.
Yeah. She was just like so amazing to work with. I had originally wanted to get you a purple cake, but then nonchalantly one night we were just talking about birthday cakes for some reason. And you were like, you're like, I've only ever had white cakes. I just really like white cakes. And I'm like, fuck. Okay.
That's
and
then I like, so funny that we said that.
Yeah.
Like there was not any part in my head that was like, and nudge,
you like, didn't like clock. So that day, remember I told you the original plan was to do white with the bows.
Yes.
And, like, randomly I was like, I feel like she's gonna want color. Like, I feel like I should do color. So that's why I had asked you to send me your favorite shade of purple.
Oh, see, I thought it was because she made invites. We'll put them up on the screen. You guys can see the invites.
Yeah.
Now.
But I had texted her one morning. I was like, hey, can you send me your favorite shade of purple? Because I sent that to her to do the cake that purple. But then so that was just like, I think a week before your birthday.
Yeah.
But then that very night is when we had the conversation about all white cakes. So I literally DM'd her and I was like, I'm sorry, scratch everything that we figured out today about the purple. Can we just go back to the all white cake?
It's probably so much nicer for her. Yeah. Trying to color match and shit.
Right. Like, and she said that. She was like, I can't find this exact shade in the luster dust because you know how it was shiny.
Oh, yeah.
So she was like, I can do some mixing.
Damn, it probably would have been even more expensive for she had to go.
I just felt bad for
color.
Like going back and forth, but
well, it's not like she started it yet. Like,
right.
Good thing about that, she probably made it what day or two before tops. Like, it's a fresh cake. It was so pretty.
It
Please go look at it, you guys. So this is a little bit of a two-parter here. Let me back up a little bit. On our way home from the spa, Liza texted me and was like, "Hey, like, when are you going to be home?" I was like, oh, probably like 7:30. And she's like, okay, let me know if you're running late. Like, I have something being delivered. And like for a split second, I was like, oh my God, is she showing up? Like, I thought Liza was coming. And then I remembered I have her location on. It literally said like Culver City. I was like, okay, she's in LA. And I was like, okay, like I'll let you know right when I get home. And I let her know. We walked through the door, maybe like 7:15, whatever. And I remember Kaya and I were like starting our makeup and she was like, Liza's dropping something off. I was like, yeah, who knows? With Liza, it could be a thing of cupcakes or it could literally be like a mariachi band. Like, Liza is so
shot in the dark.
She cannot be predicted.
No,
it could be anything at this point. 30 minutes later, maybe Alex pops in my room while they're setting stuff up and she's like, okay, close your eyes. Like, I don't even think you said like Liza's thing is here. You were just like, come here. I thought it was just like the surprise of it all.
Right.
And so she walks me to the front door and I plan on if it's not posted already, it will be soon. I plan on putting this on my TikTok because the video is so fucking funny.
Hilarious. Was the footage that I got any good?
Well, the lighting in here was bad. So that camera is really like, it wasn't your fault. It was just like the camera quality, but Kaya got a lot on her phone.
Okay.
We open the door. This man is in a mullet American flag sunglasses, a leather jacket, cowboy boots, and blue jeans. He has a what is it? Acoustic guitar and a dozen of red roses and a happy birthday balloon. And he reads off his phone. I'm in shock. So I honestly still can't fully You're remember like, the
wait,
verbiage.
Who is this person?
Because at first, I swear, I thought it was Jax Taylor. because we had just watched the episode where it was
where Jax's, he dresses up.
He dresses as an, they have an 80s themed birthday for him because he's like turning 40 and he like talks about how much he loves
that's
the 80s.
That's so nuts.
And he, that's literally what he wore in the episode. He wore a scraggly right. mullet and like the aviators, like he looked, it fucking blew my mind for a sec. So
imagine.
Oh my God. So he gives me the roses and he's reading off his phone. It just said like, happy birthday, five ever, love Liza or whatever. I honestly don't remember what she said in the thing. It's in the video. So I'm just in shock. And then I notice he has a guitar and I was like, are you going to perform something? And he goes, right, like hits the first note. He plays Brown Eyed Girl.
Oh.
He plays Don't Stop Believin', and then ends with Happy Birthday.
It was so
we had
good.
Like a fun little dance party here in the foyer.
The foyer.
Literally, and the front door was opened 2 inches in. Yeah, and he was incredible. Like,
yeah,
actually,
he
such
like had
a
voice.
Singer.
His name was Greg.
Yeah.
Liza said she found him on
his name
Google.
His name was Greg, but in the, when you filmed yourself, because I, before I came out with my eyes closed, I gave Alex my camera. I was like, whatever it is, just like, can you film my reaction? And you were like, okay, so we're here with Craig. And he was like, oh no.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, oh no, it's Greg with a G. And you were like, okay, Greg. But his reaction was like so cute. Yeah, he was incredible. So we did that. And then we finished getting ready and we had a little photo shoot with the cake. If you probably saw it on my Instagram too. And we went out to dinner at Violetta. What is it? No, Veronica.
Veronica.
Which, how did you find the restaurant? This was the, mind you, I didn't know what restaurant we were going to either. So we walk up and Google pictures of this restaurant, you guys. It was stunning.
It's in the building from that Anna Delvey had. If you watched Inventing Anna, you know this whole like true story of something that happened, like social media based in New York.
If you haven't watched Inventing Anna, you should watch
it. Go watch it. It's just basically, long story short, it's this woman, Anna Delvey. She was just like this big fraud. She got a whole bunch of investors to purchase this really beautiful historic building here in New York because she wanted to like open up her own Soho house. Obviously that fell through, but now the building is a museum. And then on top of the museum is this like beautiful restaurant.
High ceilings, arched doorways, yellow like candlelit lighting.
Like, oh, it's just stunning. And
beautiful.
They have a bar connected to it. It's just stunning.
Some shit you'd see in Gossip Girl.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I was just on, you know, Infatuation?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like a restaurant. Website.
Yeah, like a blog.
Right, something like that. I was on that a lot, and I was in between two restaurants. I was gonna do Veronica and then Claude.
Oh yeah.
Which I think we should go to.
I still want to try it. Yeah.
Yeah, that menu just looked so fabulous, but it wasn't as like of a special spot for a birthday dinner, I don't think.
Right.
But I was just doing a lot of research on Resi and Infatuation for like special occasion parties, and yeah, that was on one of them.
Oh my God, it was so nice and it was so yummy. Like, oh, everything on the table was
so
incredible
good. Oh, they, instead of like bringing, you know how restaurants bring out like free bread,
yeah,
they brought out free like
croissant rolls.
Yeah, croissant rolls.
Think of like, they were like the shape of a Twinkie, but like a croissant,
like
a
flaky
croissant,
buttery croissants, and then the most like silky smooth French butter on the side.
It was like a kind of sweet.
Oh my God.
Like naturally sweet, like buttercream sweet.
It was so fucking good.
It was so good. I got the salmon, you got chicken. Mm-hmm. Kylie got the steak. Kaya got the scallops.
My boyfriend got the schnitzel.
The schnitzel, of course he did.
Right.
But they're actually known for their schnitzel. So yeah, he probably ordered one of the most responsible things on the menu. We got, what was our appetizer again? Like a crudo of some sort.
Yeah, we got a crudo, mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah. And then like broccolini and stuff.
She got a bunch of sides.
I got a martini. Oh my God. A $50 martini. I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Yeah, it was your birthday.
It was my birthday. But the martini comes with a like fried potato topped with creme fraiche and caviar, and then this like candied peach thing. So it was like a little experience, a little tasting.
Right.
It's $50. Mind you, it was probably one of the best martinis I've ever had.
it was really good.
It was incredible. Because every martini, like, I remember when I first ever started drinking and people would get martinis and I try them, I'd be like, there's no way you enjoy this.
No.
There's no way you're actually enjoying this. I think martinis are one of those things where the ingredients actually do matter. You do need quality vodka or gin. You do need quality vermouth, even quality olive joyce. Olive juice, if you're going dirty with it. Like, it was incredible. It had like no sting at all. I also had a mezcal Negroni thing. I think I had two of those. By the end of dinner, I was drunk.
Yeah. They were strong.
Their drinks are strong.
They were really good,
spirit
strong.
Spirit forward.
Right. Really good, strong cocktails.
Yep. And then can we talk about my gift real quick?
Oh, yeah.
I had like a little bit of a content brainstorm this morning and I was thinking more on how I want to do a series with it. Alex got me this. I actually kind of want to grab it. Hold on. Okay. If you're on visual, you could see it. If not, I'll just tell you what it is. It is this vintage cookbook, but this cookbook is even like holding it, I'm like, Do you guys know what Bohemian Grove is? If you don't,
we have an episode on it.
Oh yeah.
The, our conspiracy theories episode, I think season two. We each came with a conspiracy theory and I talked about the Bohemian Grove.
Oh yeah. And didn't I talk about like Rugrats or something? Like, yours was so much better.
Whatever.
Anyway, this is Joe Tilden's recipe for epicures.
Epicures.
Epicures. What's an epicure?
I don't know. Let's look it up. I did look it up when I got it.
So this book is all the recipes. This was one of the members that like ran the kitchen, right?
He was an original member of the group, of the Grove.
Like Bohemian Grove.
Yeah. I don't think he was like a chef there.
He just
necessarily.
Like curated.
Yeah. He was just like.
What you ate while you were there.
He was just a chef.
He was just like in.
Or a cook. Read the little entry thing.
Major Joseph Tilden was in his time one of the most famous Bohemians and Epicureans.
To interject, an epicure is a person who takes particular pleasure in fine food and drink.
Me.
Yeah. You're an epicure.
Oh my God. I'm self-proclaimed epicure.
Love that.
I should put that on my bio.
I was going to say that.
It's kind of cute. I like that. Anyway, of the Pacific Coast, ever since his death, his many friends have been trying to learn the culinary secrets, which made a repast of his devising so delicious. That sentence didn't make sense grammatically. He had given his recipes to but few, and those few of his most intimate friends and fellow spirits. One of the most favored of his old companions has given this complete collection of his recipes for publication. San Francisco, May 1907,
and it's a first edition. Like, this
crazy,
is
crazy.
Because
you could
actually still buy this. Like, they, for super cheap, they have like paperback.
Right. But this is like, I know you can't see much on visual. I wish you guys can touch it. Like, it's like,
it's woven.
Even the way it's pressed, like, that's like,
yeah.
You could tell it's like a stamp on the cover. Like,
yeah, it's ink pressed and it's like a woven,
kind of canvasy feel.
Yeah. Canvas or like linen material.
Yeah. But
and
like,
it's like stretched stained tight. And
this thing's used. It's, yeah. And these recipes.
It's just so cool.
It's so fucking cool. And I want to kind of look more into it and maybe like where a lot of his findings came from. Maybe it was just more of a sign of the times. But these recipes are super bizarre in the sense of not only the format, everything is in like paragraph form, which like you don't see in cookbooks, but they're really simple. Like, I'll read this one. This is a recipe for Yorkshire steaks. Fry and butter several small tenderloin steaks with two onions sliced and one cucumber sliced. When well browned, that's not a word, add a pint of stock, salt, pepper, and cayenne, and 1 teaspoon of made mustard. Simmer an hour or longer. Literally, that's it. That's all that recipe calls for. Like, and they're all like that. It's really interesting.
Just like short paragraph form.
And even like what you're putting in it, like,
like, where's the flavor coming from?
Yeah, cayenne, 2 onions, and right. salt and pepper. Like, yeah, super interesting. But I was thinking about maybe doing some of these recipes on TikTok. I think that'd be really cool. Little series.
You should. Let me know if you guys should do that. Did you happen to look more into him?
No, I haven't. I've been battling the worst hangover of my life.
Right. Just one not a time. Not a time for research.
No way. No. Imagine going down the Bohemian Grove.
No.
Black hole while you're also like, what am I doing? I'm alive.
Nope.
There's bigger fish fry. It's really pretty though. Like, look at the art. So
right.
even the format is like, what you don't really see in cookbooks. Like, it's, everything's categorized, like each chapter, which I guess is normal, sauces, meats, poultry, whatever. But then at the end of each chapter is like 3 or 4 blank pages for your own notes, where usually I see those only in the back of books.
Right.
It's really interesting. There's a sticker right here. It says the White House SF Toy Department.
What is that?
I don't know.
Maybe that's like where it landed.
Oh, right. And you found this on Etsy?
Yeah. So I found this on Etsy and I was just looking up like vintage cookbooks specifically. I knew I wanted you to get you a vintage cookbook. Mm-hmm. And I saw the owl on the front. And if you know the Bohemian Grove, they have a, like, I don't know, like 12 foot something, probably bigger than that.
Yeah, I think it's like 30.
Yeah, 30 foot owl as like their centerpiece at the grounds, at the Grove.
For their rituals.
Right. And this is the, it's like owl.
On the cover of the book.
Right.
Crazy. I'm going to read this next thing and then we'll move on. But listen to this. This is for milk punch.
Ew. Ew.
Take the juice and shaved peel of 2 dozen lemons, mix with 5 quarts of water, 3 pounds of loaf sugar, and 6 quarts of rum. Stir until the sugar is dissolved and then add 2 quarts of boiling milk.
Ew.
And allow the mixture to stand 24 hours, then strain twice through a cloth.
Should we try it? Rum and milk.
I guess Is that kind of like a White Russian? Like, isn't that there's cream in it. The sitting for 24 hours after being boiled tells me there's going to be a layer of yogurt on top. It's disgusting. Yeah, maybe it's good for your gut. Maybe I need that.
Yeah.
Little hair of the dog with some milk?
Ew.
I'll be good in no time. Yeah, that's so cool though. This is like such a sick gift. And
yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Oh, I love it so much. Okay, yeah, so we went out that night and just stupid.
Drank, went to a club, and then I ended up going home after the club, and you and Kaya went to... Did you go to another place before you went to Doc's?
I don't think so, no.
No?
No. And we went to Doc's till the wee hours.
And then?
Came home.
That's it?
So Kaya and I went to Doc's and I met this guy and he was super cute. And I kind of like, we like kind of just like immediately gravitated towards each other. I was just like poking into the bar. He was sitting at the bar and I did the thing where I obviously needed to go up and get a drink. And
right.
he was just kind of right there. I had to like be in his grill. And we just like got to talking. The seat next to him opened up and we were just taking shots and being flirty, and we made out the bar, and I fully went home with him.
Woo!
Alex is really proud of me for this.
I'm just so proud of you.
I am proud of me too, because like it was so fun. It was so like mindless. It was so just all the things that I've always wanted hookups to be.
Exactly.
And you guys have heard me talk about that for years.
Like, right. I've, and you always felt like it just wasn't you. And
yeah.
you were like scared of it in a way.
Yep.
But to like, for you to come home and like the way that you like gremlined into my room and you were like, I hooked up with someone. Like, you had a good experience. And
I'm just so happy
you had a good experience when you had a different perspective on it beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if I could hold the hands of younger Kristen right now and be like, hey, this is
it's gonna be
okay to hook up with people. Like,
yeah.
It's actually a fun part of like getting older. Life. Like it's like, yeah, just like fun sex and like,
yeah,
that's exactly what it was. It was
like, who's going to get you in trouble?
Nobody.
No one's going to get you in 29. Trouble.
Yeah. I left his place and I walked to the corner bodega, got a toasted everything bagel with cream cheese. The sun was coming up. There were commuters in line getting their coffee behind me. And I was doing the walk of shame right into a yellow, came back home, got in the shower immediately, just like washed my sins and went to bed for
hour and a half,
woke up and here we are. No, I mean, then we told you the rest. That next day, that Friday was just like, oh,
shit.
So I was obviously hungover for like obvious reasons, but then the lack of sleep, like I said, it was just like the worst hangover I've ever had. And then Saturday, we woke up and I'm like still not feeling too hot, but we had this whole day planned. Again, Alex planned like everything. Like it was completely a surprise to me. I knew like when to be ready and like the gist of the day, but like I did not know where we were going. And you absolutely killed everywhere we went. Yay. And
it was a lot of pressure.
Really?
Yeah. Not like from you, but like okay, in general, like planning a birthday that around 10 people were going to.
Yeah, we did
to,
have a big like, group. The weather was so nice that day. Like it was the type of sunny where in the sun, it was like super warm. In the shade, it was a little colder, but luckily. Okay, so let me back up a little bit. We went to brunch at the Gray Dog. Gray Dog, so good. They have these grilled cheese bites that you dip in tomato soup for an appetizer. Incredible. We had brunch there and then we went to a rooftop, which was so perfect. Oh my God. The Ready.
It's on top of the Moxie.
Yes. It was by Amsterdam, right? Mm-hmm. Amsterdam Billiards. Great pool hall if you're ever in the area. Yeah, guys, we went to this rooftop and
I was worried that we were going to walk up there and there was going to be no one because it was.
That can happen at rooftops.
You know what I mean?
Like the highlight room in LA, that happens a lot.
It was always dead. And I was like, okay, no matter what, we're just going to have to make it a vibe. But when we walked up there and it was like, I almost said bumping. Like
it was bumping.
It was popping. Like there were so many people and they played the best music.
And like, I know you probably hopefully felt this too. Like it was like our music.
Yes.
Like that was like the music you and I used to listen to in like 2013, absolutely. 2014. And like every few songs, like it was
like they played nostalgic. Like Latch and
yes. And they, like Kygo and
right.
Oh, it was so
perfect. Good. And they did like tacos and they had like elote corn and
like a little small bites.
Yeah.
And I liked how we ordered. So she had a reservation for us. So we were able to actually sit. This place is also like a bar where you could just go and like stand around and, you know, walk up to the bar like any other establishment.
But the reservation was great because it was so free to make the reservation.
And you get to
but
sit.
It felt like we had like a table.
Yep. And then each table obviously has a number and then a QR code for the menu, but then you order through the phone. So like your tab is closed the second you press checkout and then your food, by the time you get your drink, like you could leave after like you're paid for. I love when like drinking, like when bars do that. Cause like you do want to leave. Like,
yeah.
And to close just, like, out.
Stand up.
Right. Usually closing out means you kind of have to get back in line, even though you're not getting another drink. You're trying to just leave.
Right.
So I liked that we were able to do that. It was very like stress free.
And they were really nice there because we only had the table for like 2 hours was the reservation, but they could obviously tell that like we wanted to keep going. Like we got there at 4 p.m. and dinner wasn't until 9. So we obviously wanted to stay there as long as possible. And the host like really like I was like so staying there with her. She was so accommodating. She was like, okay, I can sit you here until this party comes and then we can move you to this table. We ended up moving to like three or four. Yeah, it was four different tables. It worked out perfectly. Uh-huh. Perfectly.
It, like down to the minute, it was perfect amount of time to get in the car and then go to dinner. It was absolutely perfect.
Seamless.
And we played a lot of cards. Like I whipped out my little magic trick, blew some people's minds.
Right.
We got like a margarita tower, which you would think would be like really sweet and like too much, but they were really good margaritas. And yeah, we honestly, the whole group just got
hammered.
Absolutely obliterated. Slosh.
I left my card at that bar.
Yeah. But you got it back.
I got it back. That was my bike ride yesterday.
Yeah.
Hungover. I got on the bike.
You're like, this is my punishment.
I gotta go. I gotta go get my card. It really was like an eye-opening moment. It was really humbling for me to be like riding the bike in the cold, going to pick up the card that I left at the bar the night before.
It's like another version of the walk of shame.
Exactly.
Were any of the bartenders who you recognize or anything?
No.
Because I feel like.
God bless.
Right. I feel like I've done that where like. The next day I'm going to get the card and like, it's the same bouncer.
Yeah.
And they're like,
oh, you're back?
A long night? And it's like, all right, don't make me feel
like
shit.
I get it.
Wait, like, I already feel like ass about this.
But I was sitting in the bar the next day and she had to go like down to a different floor and get it out of a safe. So I was sitting up there for like 20, 25 minutes, like a good amount of time. And it was open and there were still hella people there. So I'm like sitting at the bar hungover. Music is blaring. Partying like all around me. Getting
drunk again.
Yeah. And like I had like two or three bartenders come up to me and are like, hey, do you need anything?
I'm gonna get started.
At one point I was like, fuck, should I just get a beer?
You should have.
I should have.
You should have. That would have been
it would have sent me into a spiral.
You would have just, you're like the blood alcohol content. I think I would have just stayed. Been hammered again.
Yep.
Immediately after that one beer. Yeah, so we left that place that night and we went to dinner at Little Frankie's.
Oh, such a cool spot.
Oh, it was so good. The lemony pasta was so yummy. The garlic bread was insane. Mm-hmm. We sat at this like really cool table that was like an old tree stump, like a real one. Like it was like that tree had to have been hundreds of years old. Like think about that. Yeah. How many rings were in that? It was a giant table. And then we had dinner there and then we went to karaoke at Winnie's. Such a good karaoke place if you're ever in the city. And then the group kind of split up after that. I mean, it was a long day of drinking, so we had some tired eyes, and the night ended with me back at Doc's, the place where, yeah. And then Shelby came with me, our friend Shelby. I think we've told you guys about her. If you're on our Patreon, that one vlog we had with all of us going out, that's who we're talking about. That's Shelby. Shelby and Vic and a few other like new friends. We all just went out and stayed there till like 3:30. And then I actually was like, hey guys, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
Like I was very responsible.
You ended the night? I love that.
And then I came home and
made ramen
and slept on the couch because Kaya was sprawled out in my bed and I just didn't want to bug her.
You didn't want to deal.
And I was hammered. I was just like, I don't need much right now.
Right. You look pretty comfy. Anyway. I woke up and I looked and I was like, why is she on the couch?
And Link was with me. She slept with me on the couch. So wherever Link sleeps, honestly, I'm fine. It's just if she's not sleeping with me, I feel like something's missing.
Right.
And that is the tale of
your 29th birthday.
Can you believe a year ago we were in London?
Yeah, I think about London so much.
Me too.
I miss it so much.
We gotta go back.
We
gotta go back and like when it's a little bit warmer too, and just like get a different side of London.
Yeah,
I think Lee is going back in May. What if?
No, I'm not doing anything until
ever again
until, because I, not only do we have camping in July, but I'm also doing a bachelorette weekend the following weekend. So I have just 2 weeks of I have to prep for.
Yeah. No, I mean, protect your energy. I get it.
These next 2 months, I need a break.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely tired.
Yeah.
Definitely ready to not do anything until Gov Ball.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. There's my life status.
The tale of being 29.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a great year for you. I really do.
It just better be.
It will. Make it.
I thought 28 was going to be really good.
Well.
All my life.
I think what you, like, yes, you thought it would be really good, but I think you thought it would be important.
You thought.
And well, you had the feeling and you knew deep down that it would be important.
Yes.
And I think it was important.
It was. But it wasn't. Enjoyable.
No. But I think now we're on the up. I'm just sending it out there for you.
No, thank you. And I'm just, you know, I'm trying to latch on. It's just like, yeah, give me a break.
Yeah.
hey, universe, if you're listening to advice, give me a break, girl.
She will. It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird getting older.
Yeah.
But it's cool and it's a fucking privilege. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of people who will never see 29. And like, I definitely come back to earth with that and have gratitude in that every day of my life, but especially every birthday. So remember that this year and your birthday, or if your birthday's already passed, the next one, it's a fucking privilege to age. And I feel like a lot of people like even like their 30th birthdays, they'll have those themes that are like funeral themed, and it's like death to my 20s. And
right.
I don't know. That's very morbid in itself. I would never be one to mimic a funeral for any type of theme, but that's beside the point. I just think like people just harp on aging and think it's like this bad thing, especially society. I mean, anti-aging products, all this shit. And like,
there's just so much beauty in it that we just don't give credit to.
It's literally all we have. Like the fact that I'm getting older, regardless of everything I just fucking complained about for this whole hour and a half, like
that's the consistency. That's the one thing without fail.
And like, I'm blessed with it. You're blessed with it. Everybody able to listen to this right now is blessed with vitality. So I think at that point, that's where the universe kind of passes the torch and is like, hey, you're here. Now do your best with it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do sometimes, but you're not alone. So shout out you. All right, you guys. Again, sorry that it was late, but you now know why. If you're wondering, let's do Patreon. What should we do on Patreon? Can we liven it up a little bit?
Yeah.
What's like...
I feel like this is a good opportunity for you guys to write in, for our Patreon listeners, to write in about your like most introspective birthday that you've had. Like, was there a point when you turned a certain age and you were like, oh, this is different. Like, my life is going to be different because I'm now getting older. Like, I feel like we all go through like the teens, the early 20s, the mm-hmm. late 20s. But there's always just like a very different feeling when it comes to actually turning like a different birthdays. Age. Yeah, certain birthdays.
Yeah, what does that look like for you? Are you one of those people that dreads it every year? And how do you even navigate that?
Right.
Now, as somebody who's kind of feeling negative about it for the first time, like, how do you kind of pull yourself out of that hole? And also to the Patreon point, like, I'd love to hear any of you, if you've ever like moved somewhere else, like how have you found your roots again? How do you kind of put your feet back into the ground? If there's anything you do or anything you don't do to kind of help with that, I think I'm reaching out for a little bit of my own advice, if you guys don't mind. And then as always for these Patreon episodes, you guys, it's also just an advice column every Friday. So whether or not you want to kind of go off our prompts, you can also just write in anything you're going through, and that's why it's there. We are there for you. If you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? We have a Patreon, and every Friday we post follow-up episodes to these Monday episodes. It's linked down below, or you can go to patreon.com/oddvicepodcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you rate us 5 stars and leave a cutesy little review, something nice, something short and sweet. And if you are on YouTube, God, we should pre-record this and just like put the soundbite in. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and turn on your notifications, because YouTube could be weird about sending those out even if you are subscribed. It's a little two-step that kind of ensures that you get the push notification every time we post.
And everyone leave a comment and say happy birthday, Kristen.
Oh, thank you. And leave a comment, happy birthday, Alex, because hers is coming up in 6 months. I'm glad we're not too close. It'd be chaotic.
Yeah.
That's chaos. Like how it is with me and Bree.
Right.
Like Bree's birthday is in like 2 weeks.
Doesn't when you look at a calendar in your head, it's like, whoa.
It's spiky. And then you and Leanna are like, woo. Like, you guys are like perfectly separated, you and Leanna.
Right. But then me and you, it's like, woo.
Literally 6 months. Like, how more perfectly spaced out of the calendar could you and I be?
Right.
Sorry, we're perfect. Thank you, universe.
All right, guys, we love you so much. We'll see you soon.
Go drink water.
Please.
And don't drink alcohol. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. Thanks for listening to my problems.